The following is a mantra yoga lecture given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on April 28th, 2012, in Telšiai, Lithuania.
So now we just came in for a landing from our magic carpet rug. Hope you had a good ride. This is a very powerful mantra we have chanted. Have you heard of mantra before? Mantra is a word in the Sanskrit language. It has two syllables. Man means mind, and tra means deliver. So a mantra is that which delivers the mind. What does it deliver the mind from? It delivers, what would we like to have our minds delivered from? What is a mental problem we all have? Anxiety. So the mantra actually relieves your mind from all anxiety. You don't need to take liquor. You don't need to take antidepressant medicines. You don't need to smoke marijuana or take LSD. Or take ecstasy. All you have to do is chant the mantra. And you go on a magic carpet ride into a wonderful world of transcendental bliss. And then actually, the more you chant, your whole life enters into that wonderful world of bliss. Even right here in Telšiai, you can feel the bliss by chanting Hare Krishna. So, it's very simple to do.
It
doesn't cost anything. It's legal. And it's fun. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Doesn't matter what religion you are. If you're a Christian, it'll make you a better Christian. Whatever your religion is, you'll become pure in your heart. Because the goal in every religion is to become a saint. So the more you chant this Hare Krishna mantra, you develop all saintly qualities. You naturally become very gentle, very peaceful, very loving, very kind. And you become smart also, it makes you intelligent. So it's really the universal solution for all the problems of the world. We can create a whole world full of intelligent, saintly people. Just by chanting this amazing mantra. So where does it come from? Who made it up? Was it invented by some guru, or where did it come from? This mantra comes from God Himself. It was brought to this world by a great saint named Narad Muni. He didn't need a magic carpet to go on a magic carpet ride. He didn't need to fly on Ryanair either. Narada Muni has the power to fly anywhere in the whole universe, or even the spiritual world, just by his desire. If we are very fortunate, someday we can see Narada Muni. But he brought this from the spiritual world. This 16-word mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Hare is the energy of God. And Krishna is a name for God. In Sanskrit. And Rama also is a name for God in Sanskrit. So, in, what is your word for God in Lithuanian?
Dievas.
Dievas. Dievas. Yeah. So, in every language, there's a name for God. Does that mean that there's a different God for every country? There's one God for Lithuania, there's another God up in Latvia, another God up in Estonia. No, there's one God. According to our different languages, we pray to that Supreme Father of all living beings. So similarly, in the Indian, the ancient language of India, Sanskrit language, God was especially called by the name Krishna, which literally means the all-attractive one. Why would God be all-attractive? I mean, is he good-looking, or what's the deal? I thought he was some old man with a beard. That's the Western conception of God. In the Sistine Chapel in Rome, he's an old man with a beard. You know, he needs a cane, a hearing aid, glasses, you know, to get around because he's old. But I ask, does that make sense? That God would be an old man with a beard. Because God means everything's under his control. He's the supreme controller. That means no, there is no power greater than God. There's no power equal to God either. He's the supreme power over everything else. So would you think that time is more powerful than God? Or that God is more powerful than time? What makes sense logically? If God is the supreme controller, does time control him or does he control time? So, what would you say? Somebody somebody say that God would God control time or does time control God?
God controls the time.
That's right. Therefore, what causes us to get old? Does the Latvian government make you get old? Or the Lithuanian government? No, time makes you get old. So since God is the controller over time, you think he gets old or not? I mean, if you had a choice, would you get old or stay young? Is it? So we had a choice, we definitely stay young. So we don't have a choice because we're under the control of time. But God has a choice. He can get older, he can stay young. Therefore, God never gets old. He remains a teenager forever. The prime of youth. Therefore, he never gets old and wrinkled. He's always really good looking. Is he? Therefore, when we say he's all attractive, it's not just some, you know, academic term. It's a fact, he's really, really good looking. He's really beautiful. I mean, all the girls just go crazy over him, you know, he's so good looking. And he really is. He's got so many girlfriends. So he also is all powerful. He's also all renounced. He owns everything. Since God has created everything, therefore he owns everything. So he must be pretty rich also if he owns everything. And since everything is coming to him, he knows everything also about everything. He has perfect knowledge of past, present, and future. Therefore, he is supreme in knowledge. And also, who is more famous than God? In this world, so many stars come and go, you see. The Beatles came, then they broke apart. Michael Jackson came. He died of a drug overdose. You know, they come and go. But God remains eternally as the most famous of all people. You see. So whether you talk about power, beauty, renunciation, knowledge, wealth, or fame, these are all attractive qualities. Therefore, since God possesses power, beauty, renunciation, knowledge, wealth, and fame to an unlimited degree, he is indeed all attractive. Therefore, we call him Krishna in Sanskrit. And his other name in the mantra is Rama. Rama means the supreme enjoyer. So who has the right to enjoy something? It's like who gets to enjoy your car? You do, because you're the owner. If somebody else that tries to enjoy your car, they're called a thief. So the owner is the enjoyer. So since God is the supreme owner of everything, since everything has come from him, therefore God is naturally the supreme enjoyer also. Therefore, these names, Krishna and Rama, are very appropriate names for God. And Hare is the energy of God. Just like we approach a big man by going through his secretary. So Hare is the secretary of God. The energy of God. By going through Hare, then we can approach Krishna or Rama. So by chanting this Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, one is directly associating with God and his energy. You see, if I say your name, when you're not here in the room, then you're not here. Because you and your name are different. But God, being the all-powerful, absolute person, his name and himself are the same. In other words, God is fully present in his name. So this is how this mantra works, to elevate your consciousness. Because when you chant it, then God himself becomes present. Now if you're cold in the winter, what do you do? You get near that stove, don't you? You get near the stove. The heater, you know. The furnace or the heater. You get near the fire to warm up in the winter. If you're close to the fire, the closer you get to the fire, the warmer you get. So if you're cold, you associate with something that's warm, and then you warm up, you see. So in the same way, if you associate with God, what happens to you? Just like the quality of fire is heat. And if you're cold, then you get warm when you come close to fire. So in a similar way, these pure spiritual qualities of God become more and more manifest in you the more you associate with God. So this is the great mercy of God. He appears in the form of His name. So you can associate directly with God every day. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So in this way, you become saintly. You develop all godly qualities just by regularly associating with God in the form of His name. It simply requires practice. It's called meditation. It's called nama meditation. Meditating on the name of God. Some people say, well, when I meditate, I just do silently, you see. But you know what? When you sit there like this, in the lotus posture, or a half lotus, your mind still wanders here and there and everywhere. But if you will fix your mind on the sound vibration of God's name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, your meditation will become very perfect. This name of God exists beyond this material existence. So when you chant the name of God with faith and devotion, you actually have an experience of transcending this material existence. You have an experience to some degree of your eternal identity beyond your body. You may say, what? Beyond my body? What are you talking about? I want to tell you about that. Did you know that you're not your body? Your body is just a vehicle that you're using right now. And just like we have an old car and we buy a new one, you've changed many different bodies. Even in this lifetime, you've had many different bodies. Where are the chemicals, the molecules that made up your little baby's body? Do you still have those molecules? No, they're gone. It's like in the river, the water keeps flowing by. It doesn't stay. The water that is today in the Newman's, Newman's River?
Namanus.
Namanus? Namanus? Today the water that's the Namanus River, tomorrow be called the Baltic Sea, you see. Because the water molecules are flowing, they're not staying there, you see. So in the same way, the molecules that you think are you, they don't stay there. They flow through and they go away. Your body is like a riverbed through which the water molecules are flowing. The body you have now is not the same body you had a week ago. Because your body is changing at every second. You may say, oh, but what, who am I then? You may be worried about your identity. Well, I have good news for you. You exist as an eternal living being. You're actually seated in the heart of your body. In Sanskrit it's called the Atma. You are seated as a tiny spiritual particle in the heart of your body. So even though the body is constantly changing, you remain the same throughout your whole life. You're the same person. And when you leave this body at the time of death, you will still exist as a person. And according to your karma, you will get another body. Or, if you die remembering God, you will go to His kingdom and get a spiritual body that never gets sick, never gets old, never dies. Notice that I said, if you remember God at the time of death. So, how will I do that? How will I remember God at the time of death? What do I do? Just cross my fingers and hope I have some good luck and remember God at the time of death? I'll put a little message on my smartphone, you know, remember God at the time of death. No, here's how you do it. Remember God every day. At least once a day you should remember God. That way you develop a habit of remembering God. But why only once a day? I mean, that's not much practice. Why at least once every hour remember God? Or about every minute? Or every second? Or every nanosecond. You see, that's called a saint. One who remembers God at every nanosecond, he's called a saint. But how could I be a saint? I mean, that's not possible. But no, it is possible. My spiritual master, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, he teaches a method by which any person in any part of the world, in any occupation, of any gender, of any race or whatever, can become a saint. You don't have to give up your job or give up your family or give up your education or give up your business. You do what you're doing now. But learn how to connect it with God. And then you become a saint. This is the great teaching of my spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada. He taught me how to live a saintly life. Free from sin. And I've been doing it now for 41 years. And I can tell you it feels really good. I mean, it really feels good. You feel so happy. You feel so blissful. You feel so youthful. Some people can't imagine that I'm a senior citizen. They think I look so young. Actually, I'm turning 65 this year. But I feel like a 22-year-old kid. Ready to take over the world, you see. Because the more you associate with the name of God, the more you become happy. The more you connect with your eternal nature as an eternal servant of God. You see, each and every one of us has an identity in the kingdom of God. You have a pure spiritual form that never gets sick and never gets old, never dies. You have a form already. But you forgot about it. And now you're misidentifying with this gross material body which gets sick and old and dies. You're trying to be happy in your gross body. And sometimes you are and sometimes you aren't. But you're never going to be fully happy in this body because this body is going to die. But if you can realize you have an eternal spiritual body in the kingdom of God, and you can reconnect yourself with your eternal spiritual identity, then you're going to be full of bliss. So how do you do that? That's exactly why we chant the mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. That brings back your remembrance of God. That brings back your remembrance of your eternal spiritual identity. Just like a man suffering from amnesia. He's forgotten who he is. You can even take him into his house and say, "This is your wife. Here's your dog. Here's your kids. Here's your guitar." And he can't relate to any of it. Who is this strange woman? I don't know how to play the guitar. What is it? He's suffering from amnesia. But an expert psychologist, you see, can gradually bring him out of the amnesia and reconnect him with his actual identity. So what I'm saying to you today is this. Please don't be shocked, okay? You are suffering from amnesia. You have forgotten that you're an eternal servant of God. You've forgotten you have an identity in His transcendental pastimes in the spiritual world. You've identified yourself that I'm Lithuanian. I am male. Or I am female. You see, you've identified yourself. But this has not brought you happiness. A little happiness, yeah, but not complete happiness. It has not brought you complete happiness. That's a fact. You didn't translate that. I said, that's a fact. Yeah. Oh, they know it? It's the same in English? Okay. Very good. That's a fact is the same thing in Lithuanian.
Faktas.
Fakta?
Faktas.
Faktas. Everything is us here. Faktas. Yes. So, I've come here today on the order of my spiritual master to liberate you from all anxiety. By the way, I love your little town. I mean, this is great. You have the best little town I've seen in a long time. Right here on a lake. Oh, this is really, really nice. But still, you have anxiety here. You need to become Krishna conscious now. I'm asking all of you now to make a commitment to chant the Hare Krishna mantra every day. To awaken your Krishna consciousness. And we have some books. We brought books. We brought some books about it too, because you won't be able to remember everything I've said today. The fact is, our memories are very dull in this age. In the previous ages, people had photographic memories. They could hear and remember whatever they had heard, you see. But nowadays, it goes in one ear and comes out the other end, you see. We remember very little of what we hear. So in this age, God has given us books to help us remember things. So we have brought some very wonderful books here today about this, what I'm telling you today, the science of Krishna consciousness. And we have a special offer going on today. Anybody who takes a hardbound, it's not softbound, but a hardbound book, I will give you a written blessing in your book. So now I can ask if there's any questions.
Yra toksai klausimas. Nuostabus, ar įmanoma pamatyti Dievą?
It is possible to see God.
The question is it possible to see God?
Taigi, ar įmanoma matyti Dievą?
The answer is yes.
Atsakymas taip.
One simply has to learn the technique of how to qualify oneself to see God. That is described in a wonderful scripture called the Brahma Samhita. It's a beautiful prayer in Sanskrit which describes how to see God. The prayer goes like this. Premanjana charita bhakti valochanena santaksadaiva hidayeshu velokayanti yangshamashundaramachintyoganasvarupam govindamadipurusham tamaham bhajami. This verse tells how to see God. You have to, the verse says, for those who have anointed their eyes with the salve of love of God, they can see God everywhere. So what is that salve of love of God with which they anoint the eyes? That I'll explain. This ointment, salve of love of God, it is obtained by hearing. If you will hear from a bona fide spiritual master, just as I have heard from my spiritual master, if you will hear from the bona fide spiritual master his words describing the Lord, and you regularly chant and hear this Hare Krishna mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. By this process, your consciousness and your vision become purified. Actually, God is personally present right here, right now in this room. But we cannot see Him right now. Because of lust, anger,
pykčio,
greed,
godumo,
madness, illusion,
illusions,
and envy.
Ir pavydė.
These dirts are clouding our vision.
Šitas purvas uždengia jūsų regėjimą.
So by regularly chanting the name of God,
taigi reguliariai kartodami Dievo vardus,
and hearing in God from the pure devotee of God, that hearing process cleanses our consciousness. It cleanses our seeing power also. So by hearing the glories of God through our ears, it cleanses the dirt out of our consciousness, so that gradually we can see God. Actually, God is already seeing God. We're already seeing God. But our vision is blurry. Just like I see you wearing glasses. You see, without the glasses, things look blurry.
You see.
So actually God is present now. But all we see is a blur. We don't see God. For the more we hear about God, just as the corrective lenses allow you to see properly, by hearing about God from the pure devotee of God, then your vision becomes corrected. And you can see God everywhere. That's how it works. So you can see God. You simply have to learn from the bona fide spiritual master and the bona fide scriptures like the Bhagavad Gita.
Tiesiog turite išmokti tai iš tikro dvasinio mokytojo ir šventrašio.
And the Srimad Bhagavatam.
Tokiu kaip Bhagavad Gita ir Srimad
Bhagavatam. How to see God.
Kaip matyti.
We have Bhagavatams. We have some of those books here that will teach you how to see God. You take one of our books and follow the teachings in that book and you will see God in due course. Any other questions?
Kaip išmokti neįžeidinėti kitų švento vardo? How to learn not to make offense to others and to holy name.
What was the first one? Elders?
Others.
Others.
Orders?
Others.
All people.
Others. Others. Yeah. The way to avoid being offensive to others is to always be respectful to others.
Būdas kaip neįžeidinėti kitų, tai visą laiką gerbti kitus.
Just getting away from them and going to the woods, that one word.
Tiesiog mėginant nuo kitų pabėgti, tai neveiks.
Because our nature is we want association. So you can't avoid being offensive to others by getting away from them. That doesn't work. You have to learn how to be respectful to others. So always be respectful to everyone. You see, normally in material life, unless you respect me, I won't respect you. But people are so rude and disrespectful in the modern day world. If you refuse to respect others, you're not going to have much respect for others either. So the key is, you offer respect to others even if they don't respect you, you respect them. And that's how you'll never be offensive towards anyone. And if you're in that mood, you'll naturally have respect for supreme other, which is the holy name.
Ir jeigu būsi tokioje nuotaikoje, tuomet automatiškai niekada neįžeisi ir švento vardo.
If you practice it with everyone, it will also happen between you and the holy name.
Jeigu visą kam praktikuosi pagarbą, tai tuomet turėsi pagarbą ir šventam vardui.
Mokytas minėjo, kad mūsų prigimtis tai Dievo tarnas. Norėjau paklausti, koks skirtumas tarp materialaus tarno ir dvasinio tarno.
Klausimas yra, mokytas paminėjo, kad žmogaus prigimtis yra būti Dievo tarnu ir koks yra skirtumas tarp Dievo tarno ir materialaus tarno.
You mentioned that our nature is to be servant of God. What is the difference between material servant and servant of God?
Yes. What is the difference between being a material servant and a servant of God? In the material world, people will only be a servant if they get paid. That means they're not really a servant. They're just making a business deal. Real meaning of service is with no thought of return. That is service. Where do we find an example of that in this world? The mother and her baby. Does she get anything back from the child? She gets more screaming and more dirty diapers. That's all. But still with great love and affection. She goes on serving. You see. So from the mothers we can learn how to be servant, you see. If we will approach God in the same way that the mothers take care of their babies, you see. If we don't ask anything from God, we just want to give Him our service. That's how we do it. Lord Jesus is a perfect example of a servant of God. He says, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. He just wants to do what God wants, never mind what he wants, you see. What
Jesus wants.
So learn how to give that selfless service to God.
Tad reikia išmokti, kaip duoti šitą nemotivuotą tarnystę.
And you may say, well, what service does he want? I have the answer. So you know what to do. In the Bhagavad Gita, he says, Satatam kirtiyanto mam, always chant my glories. So you want to become a servant of God? It's very simple. You simply chant the names of God. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Then what else? He says, whatever you eat, offer it to me. With love and devotion. So what's on his diet? So you can serve him the right things? Well, he's a vegetarian. So you can't serve him meat, fish or eggs. So if you'll offer your fruits, your vegetables, your dairy products and your grains to God with love and devotion, he'll accept. And then you can eat the remnants of those offerings and make those your diet. And by that eating and by that chanting, you'll become a saint. So any other questions?
Didelė dalis paprastų žmonių jie mano, kad ne tai, kad mano, bet galvoja, kad dvasinis gyvenimas tai didžiulis sunkumas, kančia ir netgi gal ir norėtų pabandyti, bet tiesiog bijo, galvoja, čia tiesiog man bus per sunku, ta prasme, man gali mokytis paaiškinti.
Ar galėtų mokytis papasakoti, ką reiškia dvasinis gyvenimas, tai žmonėms atrodo, kad tai yra kažkoks sunkumas didelis.
Can you explain, spiritual life, it is happy, because many people think that to make spiritual practice is very austere and so many miserable things you have to do, or it's not like that.
Normally people think, well, become spiritually realized, I have to do all kinds of austerities. I have to fast, or I have to sleep on a bed of nails or something like that. But actually you don't. This is the mercy of Lord Chaitanya's movement. Lord Chaitanya started the Hare Krishna movement 500 years ago in India. Actually, he is God himself appearing in the form of a devotee. So his process for spiritual awakening was very simple. You sing and dance in ecstasy. The holy names of God. Then you eat the food that have been offered to the Lord. Singing, dancing, and refreshments. Why go to a nightclub, you see? Or a restaurant? And pay so much money for some garbage music and some garbage food. You can sing and dance in ecstasy and eat the foods which have been offered to the Lord. In that way, without any austerities, you can awaken your love of God within the heart. Kevala ananda kai. Kevala ananda. It's simply a joyful process. That's Lord Chaitanya's movement. We don't believe in torturing ourselves. We are part and parcel of God, so why we should torture God's part and parcel? If you love God, you should love yourself also. You see? You're God's son. How can you hate yourself? If you love God, you have to love his son also. So you have to love yourself too. Be kind to yourself. Sing and dance in ecstasy in the holy names of God. And take the wonderful, delicious foods offered to the Lord to your full satisfaction. In this way, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. That is our process. Any other question?
Krikščionybė yra, kad daugiau už kitą mėlstis, pavyzdžiui. O čia aš negirdžiu, kad daugiausia yra savimo rūpintis kaip pat savo praktiką. O kaip čia yra už kitą, pavyzdžiui, jeigu norėtum, kad kitam mėlstis, galbūt jis neturi jokų mėlstis už save. Kaip reikėtų, kad čia yra tokia praktika?
Krikščionybė yra labai paplitusi praktika mėlstis už kitą, bet aš girdžiu čia paskaitoje, kad daugiau mėlstis už save užsimtų savo dvasinę praktiką. Kaip mokytis galėtų tai pakomentuoti?
In the Christian world, it's very popular to pray for others' benefit, not for yourself, but for others' benefit. But here, you're talking only about praying for yourself benefit. So, how you can comment on these things?
Yes. When I pray for others' benefit, they usually pray for others' material benefit.
You can imagine a situation. Siekmė paprastai meldžiamasi kitų materialiai siekmė.
Which is not really ultimately beneficial.
Kas iš tiesų nėra naudinga.
So even though they pray for others' benefit,
net jeigu ir meldžiamasi kitų naudai,
they're not really benefiting them. There's some chairs up here. There's
jokios naudos jiems tai nesuteikia.
There's space up here at the front. There's a seat right here. Seat right here.
Ateik drąsiai.
So, in the Krishna consciousness movement, we connect with the root of everything.
Taigi, Krishna sąmonėje mes viskas jungiame su pagrindinėmis šaknimis.
What happens when you water the root of the tree?
Kas nutinka, kai palaistote medžio šaknis?
Does only the root get the water?
Ar tik šaknis gauna vandens?
Or does every leaf and branch in that tree get the water?
Kiekvienas lapelis ir šakelė gauna.
So, our praying
taigi mūsų malda
is more beneficial
yra naudingesnė visiems
than their praying.
Nei paprasta kitų malda.
Because our praying is a pure prayer to the supreme source of all existence, God or Krishna. And when you connect with the supreme source of all existence in a pure way, without any thought of getting something for yourself, your prayer automatically bestows the highest benefit on every single living entity throughout the entire universe.
Automatiškai šita jūsų malda suteikia pačią didžiausią naudą visoms gyvoms būtybėms visoje visatoje.
So if you want to pray for others,
kad jeigu norite melstis už kitus,
to give all other people the highest benefit,
kad visi žmonės gautų didžiausią naudą,
there's no better prayer than Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Nėra geresnės maldos už šią.
Any other questions?
Possible.
Gal mokytis galėtų pakomentuoti, kokios yra pačios svarbiausios savybės iš to 26, kurios turėtų atlikdamas tarnystę įsigyti savo namus?
Aš girdėjau apie 26. Gal mokytis pakomentuoti, kokia yra pati svarbiausia savybė, kad žmogus turėtų išsiugdyti sekdamas dvasinę praktiką.
What is the main quality from 26 qualities which man should develop while practicing spiritual practice?
The best quality you can develop is obedience.
Geriausias savybė, kurią galite išsiugdyti, tai yra paklusnumas.
You take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master.
Tu priimi prieglobstį iš dvasinio mokytojo.
Serve him with love. And completely be obedient to his instructions. That one quality of obedience will give you all perfection. All the 26 qualities will manifest perfectly in you. If you take shelter of the bona fide spiritual master and you are 100% obedient to him, everything will come. Any other question?
Drąsiai klauskite, nebijokit, kad neliktų klausimų.
namo neprasinešti.
Anybody have any doubts?
Ar kas nors turi kokio bejonio?
I'm a doubt killer.
Nes noriu uždyti su bejonio.
You had some question?
Aš noriu paklausti mokytoją, kodėl žmonės tingus dvasinė praktikai, kodėl jie neturi tokio didžiulio susidomėjimo dvasinė praktika, nededa visos savo energijos dvasinė praktika.
My question is, why people are lazy about spiritual practice?
Why people are lazy about spiritual practice?
Kodėl žmonės tingi užsiimti dvasinė praktika?
In this age, people are lazy about everything.
Šitame amžiuje žmonės tingi bet ką daryti.
That's the fact, we're all lazy, very lazy people.
Faktas, kad visi esam labai tingus.
Especially the younger generation.
Ypatingai jaunoji karta.
So, the real reason we're lazy is we don't, see, the actual cure for laziness is love.
Taigi, tikrasis būdas, kaip savo tinginystę nugalėti yra meilė.
The more you become lazy, or the more you become selfish,
kuo daugiau žmogus tampa tinginys arba savanaudis,
you don't want to do anything for anybody else.
Jisai nieko nenori dėl nieko daryti.
So, laziness is a sign of selfishness.
Taigi, tinginystė yra ženklas savanaudiškumo.
So, the way to overcome laziness is love.
Ir būdas, kaip nugalėti šitą.
If you love someone, just like I gave the example of the mother and the child, if you love someone, there is no question of laziness. So just try to love God. And then there will be no laziness. Well, how can I love God? I can't even see Him right now. How can I love Him? Well, you should understand that you should be grateful to God.
Reikia suprasti vieną, kad jūs turite būti dėkingi Dievui.
God is giving you everything. The air you breathe, the water you drink, the food you eat, your clothing, your shelter, your transportation, everything God is giving.
Viską, ką turite, jums teikia Dievas. Orą, saulę, vandenį, kurį geriate, transportą, namą, visą, jisai to.
So, one should feel some obligation.
Tai dėl žmogus turėtų jausti kažkokį dėkingumą.
God has given me everything.
Dievas man davė viską.
Now let me serve Him. If you can develop a loving feeling about God by hearing about Him from the pure devotees of God, by serving Him, in this way there will be no question of laziness. You'll find great joy and happiness in serving God. You will feel that laziness is your enemy. You want nothing to do with laziness. You're happy to be 24 hours a day working hard to serve the mission of the Lord. Any other questions?
Kaip žmogus namie gali aukoti maistą vegetariškai? Paprastas procesas.
Kaip mokytojau, tu papasakot praktiškai, kaip tai atrodo tas maisto aukojimas Dievui namie?
Can you explain in practice how to offer food at home?
Yes. You have an altar where you have in our Krishna consciousness movement, we'll put a picture of Krishna. And before we eat our food, we'll take, just like you made a whole dinner for your family, you see. Now, this is not for meat, fish, or eggs, remember. God will not accept meat, fish, and eggs. But you take your fruits, your vegetables, your dairy products, and your grains. And you make so many varieties of nice dishes from them. And then you have a special plate in your house. You buy a special plate which is only for God. No one eats off it except for God. Then you cook all the preparations. You put a nice serving of each one of those preparations on God's plate. You put it in the front of the picture of Krishna and you bow down and ask him to accept it. And by your prayer and by his mystic power, God can eat through his ears. So by hearing your prayer, he will actually eat that food and replace it as pure spiritual energy.
I have to translate.
So in this way, you have to offer it to God. If you want to offer it to Jesus, you can do that. Or Allah, according to your religion, the same thing. Or you can use Krishna. So in this way, you can offer your food. Remember, no meat, no fish, and no eggs. In this way, your eating will become sanctified eating. Your food will become a holy sacrament. And just by eating that food, you'll become spiritualized. So everyone can do this in their own home. Get rid of the meat, fish, and eggs. Go on a vegetarian diet of fruits, vegetables, dairy products, and grains. And offer them to God before eating. You may say, but that's, I couldn't even think of doing that. You know, my diet has been meat, fish, and eggs for my whole life. But the doctors tell you that these things aren't good for you. So why not try it just for 1 month? And for 1 month, no meat, no fish, no eggs, and offer all the food to God before eating. I guarantee you, you'll love it. You will love it. You feel so good. You say, I don't want to go back to that meat again. Just let me have this nice vegetarian food offered to God. You think your health will suffer? You think you'll have bad health if you stop eating meat? Think you become weak? You know the ox that pulls the plow? He's very, very strong. He's a vegetarian. Is he? So don't think you have to eat meat to be healthy. Actually, according to the human physiology, comparing the human body with the carnivorous animals and the herbivorous animals,
lyginant žmogų su vegetariniais gyvūnais ir mėsėdžiais gyvūnais.
You will see that all the parts of the human body, the mouth, the digestive juices, and the intestinal system.
Jūs pamatysite, kad visos žmogaus kūno dalys yra burna, skrandis, virškinimas.
They are similar to the herb-eating animals, not the meat-eating animals.
Yra tokie patys kaip ir žolėdžių gyvūnų.
With the exception of the two canine teeth. We all have. That's a concession for those of us who were so foolish that we want to eat meat. But 99% our bodies are similar to the vegetarian animal.
If
a tiger wants to eat meat, he just jumps on it and bites. If we want to eat an apple, we just pick it and bite, you see. But you can't just take take something, an animal, and bite into it. You know, I think I want to eat a cat, so I just take a cat and go. You can't do that, you see. The human being is not meant to be like, he's not meant to be a carnivore, like a tiger. A tiger can take the cat and just pop the cat into his mouth. Human being can't put a cat in his mouth and just eat a cat, you see. Not meant, his body can't handle it. So by nature's way, we are not meat eaters.
Taigi, pagal prigimtį mes nesame mėsėdžiai.
We are vegetarians by nature's way. Therefore, if you eat meat, you can get heart disease, colon cancer, so many diseases from meat eating. Plus, it's so expensive. And why waste money? It's bad for your health. It costs a lot of money. The only thing is you get used to that taste of bloody flesh. It's bloody flesh is all it is. But believe me, if you give it up for a little while, you lose your taste for it. And the thought of eating it would even make you sick to your stomach. Even the thought of eating it will make you sick to your stomach. A little child is not attracted to eat meat. The parents have to say, Johnny, eat your meat, or I'm going to send you to bed without your dinner. They force a little child to eat the meat. Children don't want to eat meat in the beginning. It's artificial. So if you can take up a vegetarian diet and offer your food to God before eating, just by that eating you'll become a great saint. So any other questions?
Žmonės kažkur gyveno neturtingi ir va kažkur ten gavo žuvies, va ir pasakė, tai va Dievo apsireiškimas. Mūsų va
bažnytėlė. Bažnyčiai girdėjo, kad žmonės pagavo labai daug žuvies ir nusprendė, kad tai yra Dievo apsireiškimas. Priest in the church was telling story that some people catch a lot of fish and they told that this is... This is a gift, this is mercy of God.
Yes. For fish eaters, it is, yeah. It's like bears eat fish. Bear, you know, the bear animal, they eat fish. The bear can just take a fish and put it in his mouth. Or the big fish also, they eat little fish. For fish eating animals, yes, the fish is the mercy of God. But for you to eat a fish, you have to do so many things. The bear just puts it in his mouth. Like you can put an apple in your mouth, the bear can put the fish in his mouth and just eat it straight. But you have to take it home, you have to scale it. You have to cut off the head, take out the spinal cord. So many things you have to do to eat that fish. The apple, you can just eat it. But the fish, you have to do so many things to eat that thing. You're not meant to eat fish. God has not created you as a fish eater. The bear, he is made of the fish eater. But you're not a bear, you're a human being. Any other question? Yeah.
Šventame rašte parašyta, kad Jėzus pats mokė savo mokinius žuvauti ir maitinosi pas
žuvimi. Ne,
maitinosi. In the Holy Bible is written that Jesus Christ was teaching how to catch the fish and he was distributing the fish to others.
Not exactly. He wasn't teaching people to go out with your fishing pole and go like this. He wasn't teaching people how to catch fish. The people were starving. There was all these people out there and they had no one to eat. There was a very difficult situation. By his mystic power, actually, by his special powers, he was able to bring so many fish to the people to eat. Because that was a desert. There was no vegetables and fruits there. So if one is a situation where there's nothing out to eat, then it's okay to eat fish. But here in Lithuania, you have so many nice fruits and vegetables and grains. You see? You don't require to eat a fish here. In that desert, I think it was the Dead Sea. No, it wasn't the Dead Sea. Because there's no fish in that sea. But in that, there was nothing else to eat that day, so he gave them fish and bread. By his power, he brought all the fish and the bread. So even we can eat fish if there's nothing else to eat. It's okay if there's nothing else available. But if you have things that are natural foods for the human beings, fruits, grains, vegetables, and dairy products, then those should be taken and not the fish. But in an emergency, you can eat anything. Sometimes people are in a plane crash on the top of a mountain. Now they even eat the other dead passengers to stay alive. You'll need human flesh to stay alive. There'll be other passengers who are dead, and they eat the human body. They eat the human flesh to survive. You see. So in an emergency, you can eat anything to survive. But when there's a full supply of fruits, vegetables, dairy products, and grains, there's no need to eat a fish or a cow or an egg. No need. Any other question? Yeah.
Aš galiu paklausti, kaip mes čia atsidūrė. Jeigu sako šventrašti, kad jau mes čia labai daug mėsimės ir iškart pateksim į amžiną buveinę ir daugiau niekad čia nebegrįšim. Tai kaip mes čia atsidūrė?
Klausimas, kaip mes visi čia atsidūrė?
Question is, how we came here?
This is my driver, he drove me.
No, a question, how people came to material world.
Oh. We were all originally in the kingdom of God. But a very small percentage of those people in the kingdom of God, they think, why should I serve God? I'd like to be God. So, can you be God in the spiritual world? No, you can't. But you can go to some place where you can think that you are God. Tashe, Lithuania. You can come here and think you are God. You see. I'm not picking on your town. Everywhere in the world, people think they're God. New York City, Paris, London, everywhere. Delhi. Everywhere people think, I am God, I'm the center of the universe. This is a world where everybody thinks they're the center of the universe. But actually only God is the center of the universe. But I'm thinking I'm the center, you're thinking you're the center, we all think we're the center of the universe. That is God's mercy on us. We didn't want to serve Him, we wanted to be Him, so He gave us a place where we could think, yes, I am the center of the universe. So that desire to be the Supreme is what brought us here. Now if we reverse the desire that I'm not the Supreme, I'm just a tiny servant of God. The same process that brought us here, we can reverse it and go back. I'm the servant of God. I don't want to try to imitate Him anymore. I just want to go back and serve Him. That desire will carry us back to His kingdom.
Thank you.
Isn't it mentioned in the Bible also, forbidden apple?
Yes, in the Bible it's written that Eve and Adam took the forbidden apple. What is the forbidden apple? Actually, the desire to be God. So that by eating that forbidden apple, they were driven out of paradise. So in the same way, we all had to leave the kingdom of God because we desired to be God. We wanted that forbidden fruit. We wanted that forbidden fruit of being God. So now we can go back. Now I've tired of trying to be God. Now let me be the servant of God.
Dabar mes bandėm būti Dievu, galim persigalvoti ir užsimonyti būti Dievo tarnu ir grįžti atgal pas Dievą.
Next question. Yes, sir.
Kaip pavyzdžiui, yra tarp žmonių konfliktas, ypač jeigu tarp vakto, ne? Jeigu vienas vaktas žino, kad kitas vaktas jį apkalba, kaip tam reikėtų elgtis? Geriausiai,
teisingiausiai,
koks jau turėtų būti
elgesys kitų žmogaus atžvilgiu. Kaip atsidavęs turėtų elgtis,
žinodamas,
kad...
Ar apkalba, ar kažką negerai daro?
Kad kitas atsidavęs elgesi įžeidžiamai jo atžvilgiu, kažkaip jį apkalba.
If one devotee knows that other devotee is offensive towards him, he speaks not good things about him, so what he should do about this?
If a devotee feels that other devotees are offending him,
he knows that other devotees talking about him not some good things.
Other devotees are talking badly about him?
Yes.
Not about him?
Yes.
About yes, it is about him. That's what he said, yeah. You should feel sorry for them. Any devotees who badmouth other devotees, they're hurting themselves.
Tas, kuris kalba blogai apie Dievo atsidavusius, jis labai save skriaudžia.
You should feel compassion for them, the poor souls. See, that's anyone who offends, who criticizes Vaishnavas is called a Vaishnava aparati, an offender against devotees.
Tas, kuris kritikuoja atsidavusius Dievą, jis yra didelis įžeidėjas.
So that is the greatest offense. It's called Vaishnava aparati.
Vaishnava aparati.
So if somebody has got a bad habit of criticizing devotees, then we should feel very sorry for them and pray to Krishna that they become saved. Instead of being angry and trying to retaliate, you should be forgiving and pray to Krishna that they can become saved. In this way, you won't be pulled into the same mentality yourself.
Tokiu būdu bent jau pats nepakliūsti į tą patį mentalitetą.
If you get into a criticism war with them, then you're going down to the same level they're on.
Bet galite pradėti atsakyti tuo pačiu ir pateksite tą pačią valtį.
Understand?
Bet ar reikėtų vengti to žmogaus, ar taip toliau bendrauti?
Mm-hmm. Ar reikėtų vengti tokio žmogaus, ar bendrauti toliau su juo? Should I avoid such people?
Yes, definitely. Respect them. Well, they chant Hare Krishna, so I respect them from a distance, but stay away from them, yes.
Better stay away.
Unless their criticisms are bona fide. If their criticisms are correct, then you should learn from them. Perhaps they're pointing out your faults. So you have to be open and honest and see if this is really true, then you have to take their correction. That's the other side of the coin. Because a senior devotee may sometimes correct a junior devotee.
Labiau pažengęs, atsidavęs gali pataisyti jaunesnį.
Not out of pride, but out of compassion to help him.
Ne iš išdidumo, bet iš noro padėti.
Sometimes the junior devotee misunderstands and thinks it's pride.
Ir jaunesnis gali galvoti, o čia man kritikuoja.
But actually it's compassion.
Bet iš tikrųjų tai ne išdidumas, o tai.
So how do we know the difference?
Kaip žinoti, koks?
You have to be sincere.
Turi būti nuoširdus.
that I want to become a pure devotee of Krishna. And then Krishna will give you the intelligence to see what is correct and what is not correct. Does that help you? Okay. Very good. Next question.
Kaip žmogus, kuris kartuoja vieną, mantras ratą, turi prieiti prie 16 kartuojimo. Ar palaipsniui kažką tai pajausti.
If one is chanting one round japa every day, what is the way gradually to start to chant 16 rounds?
Up to two.
Nuo vieno prieiti prie dviejų.
And then four.
Tada prie keturių.
And then eight.
Tada aštuoni.
And then 16. He's got to keep doubling it. That's the thing, double it.
But how to know what is the right time to double it?
Today. You're doing one round now? How many are you doing now?
Three.
All right, now you go to six. Are you ready? Are you prepared to go to six? What number do you want him to go to?
Well, if he's prepared to go for 16, that would be
good. How many?
16.
She's saying six also. 16. I said six and she also said six. I said six and she said 16. So
if he has difficulty he can do six. But 16 is the best number.
I mean, you. How much food do you need to survive every day? I mean, you need a certain amount of food every day to stay healthy, right? So if I say, okay, cut down whatever amount of food you eat every day to be healthy, I want you to cut down that to 1/16 of what you need.
Taigi aš to pasakyčiau, kad tiek maisto, kiek tau reikia per dieną, kad tu būtum sveikas suvalgyti, padalink iš 16 ir valgyk tik tai tiek.
In other words, if you were taking, if you're willing, are you willing to cut down your eating to 1/16 of what you're eating now?
Jeigu 16 kartų sumažintum,
no, of course not. You need the full meal every day to stay healthy. So why would you cut down your chanting to, why would you stay on 1/16 of what you need, your daily need is for chanting? Because are you your body or are you the soul? Are you the body or are you the soul?
Soul.
So, chanting is feeding the soul and eating is feeding the body. I can see you're a well-fed man. You're not skinny, you're emaciated. And that's good. I'm happy to see healthy devotees. So you're keeping your body healthy by eating a full diet of foodstuffs. But that's not you, sir. It's only the covering of the self. So why don't you give equal care to the self within? And here's an easy way to do it. Chant all your rounds before you have your breakfast. Get up early and do your japa mantra meditation. Whether you do 6 or 16, do all your chanting first and then take your breakfast. Just like would you leave your house if your mobile phone was not fully charged? When you come home at night, you make sure to put your mobile phone on the charger so it's fully charged up the next morning. So 16 rounds is a full charge for your spiritual battery.
Taigi 16 ratų pilnai pakraus tavo dvasinę batereikę.
So you be connected with God all day long. So you must increase. One round is too little for you, sir. You should be chanting at least 6 rounds. Your 3 is not enough. At least 6 you must do. But ideally 16. Guru Mata says 16. But I'm a little soft. I just say 6. Alright, anything else? Actually, our time is up. We have to allow a little time for the books. So it's 10 till 4 right now. We'll go ahead and stop, and now we'll open up the books. Anybody who takes a hardbound book, you get a written blessing.
Kiekvienas, kas norės įsigyti knygą, knygos yra pas mus už paukojimus, už savikainą.
So I would like to thank... I'd like to thank...
Gali paukoti, kiek nuo širdies, kiek nemėl, taip pat galite, jeigu norite, padėkos yra dėžutė, paukoti už paskaitę, už kelionę. Ir...
I'm very thankful you all have come here today. I very much appreciate each and every one of you coming here today. Ačiū labai.